Hi, I'm Joanna Chaundy, and you're listening to Series 4 of the Baggy Jeans podcast, where I chat to the female music artists that have made R&B so unforgettable. We take a nostalgic look back at the music, the fashion, the videos, and the industry. So whether you're a newbie to this genre or just want to come and reminisce, tune in to Baggy Jeans, where I unpick the seams of R&B. My guest this week is a veteran of the UK soul scene, boasting a career that spans over two decades. Initially signed to Def Soul, the UK arm of Def Jam Records, her debut album Untitled gained widespread critical praise, earning her nominations for the MOBO Awards and the Mercury Music Prize. Despite a subsequent album release with Def Soul, she parted ways with the label to pursue a path more true to her artistic vision. Her collaboration with renowned producer Salaam Remy marked a turning point, allowing her to evolve into the artist she aspired to be. Music mogul Damon Dash played a pivotal role in her collaborative album with American R&B singer Nicole Ray, furthering both their individual careers. Embracing her Jamaican heritage, she launched the Breakout EP featuring London's own Rodney P and the esteemed late rapper Ty, showcasing a sound deeply rooted in London's Jamaican culture. Her remarkable adaptability and unwavering self-assurance have been her trademarks from the outset. Last year, she unveiled her latest album, My Love Story, which represents the pinnacle of her artistic journey. A regular on the performance circuit and host of her own radio show, I'm speaking, of course, of Terry Walker. Terry joined me for part two of our interview when we continued talking about the differences between UK and US artists.
I feel like in the States, they're so polished. No matter how good they are, they're so polished. Whereas we're like rough diamonds, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the thing is, and because of me growing up in Germany, and sometimes I think we'll be not only black in the village, and sometimes not realising even that I'm, like, I have to wash my hair and go and then think that it would be normal, my hair black at the end. Like, you can't just wash your hair and go. You've got to do stuff to your hair. And, you know, I was very careful. I was a bit like Macy Gray. I was
maybe like a maybe not that quite mad.
No, not as crazy as her, but like, because she's crazy in a dope way. She's crazy in a dope way. But I was just like, I saw myself as, oh, I'm just out here, innit? Like, and the thing is, I saw myself as the underdog because I knew that I could sing. So I knew that if I open my mouth and go on stage, I know you're going to be impressed. And yeah. That's what I look like. And then, but then what would happen, obviously, because the label, they polished me when, you know, the first album, I'm sitting in the gallery, you know, I'm wearing designer clothes and, my mum used to always kick me out of designer clothes, but I never cared about that stuff. Because remember, it's a culture, isn't it? Like, especially Jamaicans, that back then, having you in Chanel and Burberry, they used to have that.
I don't think many UK artists did kind of, you know, make that a thing. Do you know what I mean?
No, never did. Yeah, because because I think it was the Caribbean culture. Because remember, I think we're very heavily over here, England's very heavily influenced by the Caribbean as well.
Yeah.
More than Afrobeats now, so much more. But remember back then when you think about all the specials and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
The specials,
So we had all these different, and even when you think about Amy, she had a bit of a, and Lily, they all had like a little bit of a, because remember,
absolutely,
because I was raised in a Caribbean household and I was in Germany, I would kind of stay away from all the Caribbean, be like, this chingy chingy reggae music, I was like, I'm everything, I can do this, I can do that. But when I come back to England now, I'm realising more and more, oh my God, I'm a Caribbean true and true. But without realising how much I'm a, because my mum's supposed to be a Martin, look at my guys in the house, be quiet. And I'm singing, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what, listen, every day, still now, still does it now. but then also at the same time, having this boarding school upbringing and then being in Germany, being able to speak fluently German.
You've got some scattered upbringing, man.
It's mad, babe. But it's
essential.
I can go anywhere. I don't care because of it. But then, so when I meet Salaam now, who I got introduced to via my friend Desi G, who used to look after Miss Dynamite at the time.
Okay.
Salaam was working with every little CV, Dynamite TE and all that record.
Yeah. So another person who used Jamaican roots for her music. Yeah.
Because she's half exactly Jamaican. But when I met Salaam, he must have said hi. I must have met him one time. Before he introduced me, I saw him and Salaam out, and I must have walked in some party, and I said, oh, he's cute, and I pinched him on his cheek, and I kind of carried him walking like, I was very cheeky like that, but this is, I wasn't signing. Then he introduced me to Salam, and he goes, yo, Salam, I think you should work with this girl. You know, she's got a vibe in her, but she hasn't found a thing yet, but she's got a vibe. You and her were vibes. We met. The moment we met, got on, and he played me this Bossa Nova record. And he goes, sing over this. Tell me what would you sing over this record?
So hang on. So did he bring you into the studio at this point, or is this just a conversation at a party?
Yeah, no, this was done. The first time I was not at a party, and then when Desi actually really introduced me to him, it was at his hotel. He was staying in London. He was doing some project. He had different meetings with people at his hotel, and I was one of the people he had a meeting with. And he goes to me, okay, I've got this thingy. Sing over this. Tell me what you think. Because I told him I was going to Cuba with my friend. And he just got given this Bossa Nova library that he could do anything with what he wanted. So he could produce his records but flip them if he wanted to.
Yeah.
What would you sing over this? And I ended up singing, hey, baby, da 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 da, which ended up being a project called The Champagne Flutes that I done with.
Yes, which I was really confused by. Where did that come from?
So this is when I was like, fuck Terry Walker. She got one of them by a bus. So I'm not fucking
anything. Oh, okay, so you had killed Terry Walker.
Oh, listen, I said, 266 bus in Wilson, ran her over, she's dead. She's dead. I said, fuck. Listen, I was taking a piss. But on social media, I was writing, like, I put up a bus, and Terry Walker just got run over by a bus. She's dead. She knows back. Yeah? So, listen, people, even I remember seeing Flo's out one time, and she goes to me, oh, you want you for a show? I said, no, fuck Terry Walker. She don't do no show. And she told me this the other day, she goes, yeah, do you remember that day? And I remember thinking, wow. But then she went through her own thing, the whole flow tree thing, innit? Mm. And she understood where I was coming from after, like, fuck everyone.
Yeah.
So when I met Salam, I was just on this debauchery, getting drunk, high, doing the most nonsense. Around that time, I was being really naughty. One of the best times of my life at the same time.
That's the old weapon.
But, you know, that's how, because I was quite sheltered, I was quite innocent. So, and I trust so many people.
You were rebelling, Terry. You were rebelling.
I was rebelling. And I thought, fuck everyone. I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. They're trying to make me this person. But when I met Talan now, and then he heard something, and I just felt instantly safe with him. And
he seems like such a calm presence.
That man is the truth. I call him the artist whisperer, because what he does, he makes that record with everyone from Amy to Nas to Miguel to Dynamite that defines you, who you really are, that then puts you in a place where you know.
Yeah.
Don't ever go back and ever let anyone compromise who you are ever again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we made that record at the time and he just heard me, and then he made me, and he was kind of mentoring me, he's kind of guiding me in different ways. And I thought, at one point, they wanted to do like a house record with me and whatever else. But then that record then started to become this own thing. And then he started trusting me as a writer. Like, so he just sent me the music and I just write songs. And he'd be like, okay, dope. And then we ended up having like 12 or 13 songs, which then became the Champagne Flute Project. Eventually, then it got to a point where, you know, as much as people were loving the record, they thought it was so different. Again, trying to box us in into what does it look like? What is it? How can we sell this? Instead of it just being music, just let the music do its thing and we would have just done its thing. I again had to go and disappear from people. Even Salam, I had to disconnect from everybody again because people didn't... And Salam was never mad at me for that. Because what happened is, with him, I know he just wanted to help and he wanted me to find myself again, but no matter what, he like with Amy, he was just there. Whenever I needed him, he was
there. Yeah, and not only that, like, Salam is such a big, influential producer that you almost get umbrellaed under his name. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and that's kind of what happened again, where it's like he's gonna make it. And only one day when we were having, because by that point we were like hanging out and I was like part of his family now, and we were having a conversation maybe 2 years after me hanging out with him, and he goes to me, so what's one of your favorite records? You know, I don't know why we only had that conversation 2 years after. I said, you know what, one of my favorite, this record I heard from me and my mum was in Germany one time, and this song came on a music box. And it was this group called Fugees. And it was called, this is before Fugees blew up. And the song was called Nappy Heads. Mm-hmm. And it was a remix. Mona Lisa, can I get a day to Friday? And if you're busy. Me and my mum were like, what the fuck is this? We ran out. The next day we went and all the record stores to kind of find the record. We bought the album. But it was the original album. And the original was on there. And the original album was a load of shit. Their first album was awful. Oh, it was one of the worst albums ever. Oh, my God. After 2 years of hanging out with this man, me and my mum thought, I did not know. So, again... Because I was the biggest Lauryn Hill fan. Like, for me, Lauryn Hill was the truth. Like, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. To find out that he was the one that helped, because even they, when they talk about Salam, he was the one that gave them their sound. So when they did the score, Salam was the one that's, you know, integral in making a big part in them finding their sound and then, you know, doing Fuji Love and even some of the records from Ready or Not, him telling them where to go with it and Lauren finding her flow. So I'm thinking to myself, you're the guy that is responsible for my favorite group of all time. And I'm here with you, with my mad self, and you're allowing me to do what? I just realized that Terry Walker, even if I die and I never make a record again, I can't make records that don't represent me. So that's when I was just traveling, I ended up being in New York for 3 years with Dame Dash and Ski Beats when they were doing this.
What was the name of that video that you did?
Why can't we figure it out?
And you're like doing the little acting in there, and
I'm dating him at the time. It's so hard. It was hard. Me and Ski Beats were dating for 3 years, so I ended up being out there for 3 years.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, but also I went there because most was out there with them, and then someone that, you know, was looking after me said, "Yo, most is there. Come to the gallery, because you know they got all these different rappers and artists. They want some singers. Come down." I remember Dame Dash now being Dame Dash. Like the gallery, he had a gallery in the middle of Manhattan.
I remember.
He had people like Floyd Mayweather would come through, Cindy Crawford, Raekwon would just be there, then Most would be there, then, you know, all these people would just be coming through studio. You'd have
What year was this then? What year were you there?
This was 2008, 2009.
I was there till 2005, so yeah, I was there before you. I remember when Damon had a gallery.
Oh, listen, babe, it was one of the most amazing things that I got to, and that's nothing that really I've got to witness, to see how, when you know who you are and you're working with people that know who they are and you ain't waiting for no one for no permission. He said, "We're doing a show today. The show will be packed out. Like, oh, we're doing this. Oh, we're gonna go on tour with Adidas. We're gonna do this. You're going."
He was a force to be reckoned with, Damon, as a businessman.
He was, but the thing, and him with the Jay-Z, I get hard at part because he doesn't know how to talk to people that he doesn't respect. So, but the thing is, he would respect you because you know, because you can't talk around you. But someone that you can see things as an idiot, he ain't trying to pretend that he doesn't think that you're an idiot. Like,
exactly. He was definitely not fake.
And that's one thing. He did play the game. He didn't know how, because he's like, "Yo, we made ourselves millionaires, Rockefeller. Why the fuck?"
And
the thing is, I understood that part of him because it was a thing of, I got myself signed by myself, even though as much as I got people thingy. But every time I got somewhere, it was because I did it, not because, you know, and every time I started again, I did it again. Every time. But at the moment when everyone started to be strategic, and that's when everything always went to pot. That's when I came. I think I get why you'd be like, "That's it." Dame could start many, with the right artist. You think about Kanye, currently, whoever he works with.
Oh, yeah, genius.
He's a genius. But the wrong artist, you know, right now, I think he has a lot of people that, you know, just want to be around him up his arse. So, you know, but they're not as talented as the people that he had before, I don't think. No, there's no disrespect to them, but I think he hasn't had anyone since the Kanye's and the...
No, absolutely.
And like, so him trying to make it again.
What was your next project after you came back from New York then?
After New York, it was the Lady project with me and Nicole Ray.
Right, so this is another thing that makes love. So I spoke to Nicole Ray. She's been on here and said lovely things about you. And she has a very similar kind of journey to you, I think.
Yeah.
As in, came out really young, was molded by a record company, threw in with all these big artists.
Yeah.
But not quite knowing where she's going, had the you should be signed to Rockefeller, then that all went tits up. And then she, you know, and it wasn't until she really found her true self and now changed her name, which is hard to do.
Lady Ray.
I'm guessing that's what came from Lady Ray, coming from the Lady project.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, she's the best version of herself I've ever heard.
That's the last time I stopped trying to... I kept trying to make everyone else be themselves. So when I was working in New York with Dame and them lot, and I met Nicole, I was working with Truth and Soul first. And then Dame was like, "Yo, can Nicole come to the sessions? Can Dr. McKenzie come to the sessions?" I was like, "Of course, yeah, come on."
Yeah, because Damon would champion Nicole a lot. And I think the only reason why she wasn't... It didn't work out for them is because they fell out and it all went... You know,
I was there when it all happened. He was calling me going, "Where Nicole disappeared? What happened?" Because what happened was me being around Nicole and me trying to explain to Nicole, I had a whole career in England and I don't give a shit about this industry thing. But like right now, this record that we're making right now, I'm Terry Walker, you're Nicole Ray. I was doing this and I was saying this to her behind closed doors. I say to her, "This record is Vinny." But people around, because they didn't know who I was, in America, everyone knew who Nicole because of Missy.
Yeah.
They weren't listening to me. No one was listening to me. And rightly so, because...
Again, you're being overshadowed.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's my fault, because I was walking around looking like a crazy person, not caring. So when I'm talking, yeah, and listen, this is what I can have this meeting with that person. Everyone's like, yeah, all right, babe, right, of course you can.
That was
I'm
a beautiful record, though. It wasn't.
No, it was a wicked record. And I remember when we wrote Tell the Truth, the first song, I said, this is going to go there.
Again, UK, it's like, hang on, Terry Walker's working with Nicole Ray. Like, so everyone in the UK knew who you were. And it's like,
but what happened
is almost like a guest with you. Do you know what I mean?
No, and this is what happened. When we got to that point at the thing, they wanted to sign us. But they wanted to sign us exclusively. But they were trying to sign us for like $5,000 exclusively. Yeah. So that means I couldn't go anywhere else. And remember, bearing that in mind, I'm still with Salaam. I still, you know, I'm knowing that I'm going to do solo. This to me is just a project. I'm not looking at this as, oh, this is going to help me get to it. This is the stepping stone. And I kept saying it. My thing is, because I'm honest, I always say that out loud. Yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah, but they're thinking this is the first time you're going to be seen, like, the way you should be seen. I'm like, no, this is not. This is the first time maybe Nicole's experienced it in England, but I know where this is going
to
go.
Whose idea was it for you to both do a record together?
Well, this is the thing. I was working with them first, and Dame, if I'll be honest, Dame was the one to say, Nicole, come to the studio. Then it turned into this, and me and Nicole started writing. But because no one knew about me and what I was about, really. That's how it happened. So and the reason why they fell out is because when Nicole started seeing how the Truth and Soul guys really put her first and put her on a pedestal, and Dame was trying to go, she was like, yo, this is where I belong. And rightly so, because they were the people that really put everything into, invested in her. As the Nicole that she's supposed to be. But the thing is, what happened with me and her then, and not to blame her, I remember having a conversation with her one time, you know, like in the bedroom, and saying to her, you know what, I'm not really feeling it. So when we're out at dinner, if I don't speak, don't, you know. So what happened is they tried to write my name out. They tried to make it out like I had nothing to do with the record. So then they called it Lady Ray. And then the whole press was like, no, I'm Lady Ray. But then what happened is all the interviews, what happened to Terry Walker?
Oh, yeah, that's naughty.
And then I had to tell the real story.
So that must have caused friction between both of you.
But not me and Nicole, because I understood. Nicole, I wasn't mad at Nicole, because I know as a black woman, for her, she's looking at me thinking, I don't get it. And I got to do what I got to do to get where I need to get to. And, you know, because that's Americans, you know. I wasn't mad because that's my sister and I get it. I know the struggle. I get it.
And I think both of you were equally a little bit lost in what path you were going to at the time.
100%. Yeah. But the thing is, because I've done champagne pictures for long, I kind of knew that whatever I decided to do and everyone did the rest, I'm going to get there. I'm going to find. But Nicole was just looking for someone to just believe in her, invest in her. I was looking for someone to invest in me because I invested in myself, innit?
Yeah.
And that's what I thought I told Nicole, like, as long as you keep just doing you, and there's a thing where I went a bit, Delaney, I was really upset. It upset me at first, but it was more because I knew that I knew better, but because of my honesty, and I thought, oh, me being too honest, maybe I should. But no, don't change that. That's you. And this is the reason why that didn't work out. It wasn't meant to work out. But now we look back on all the projects that I've done, it's all connected to the dots. And everything, all the songs that I wrote on there, that I was predominantly, like, I was the one that predominantly wrote songs like Karma and Tell the Truth and Hold On. All those records are always talking about Trust Yourself. All those records I was...
Yeah. What was the video shot that you did for Get Ready?
Yeah, in London.
London, I thought it was.
Really nice video. And the funny thing is, when they came to London, I'm telling them we could sell out Jazz Cafe by ourselves. They made us do some random show this night with a bunch of people were performing that were knew nothing about who we were. And we were just on the stage. We could have told out our own, but they weren't listening to me. They thought that I had no pull in England. I said, no, but because you tried to ask me, you guys then, it just went weird. So that's when she ended up then doing her second album by herself. I ended up making it entitled, whatever song that I told you. So, how can you be mad when you've been starting and I've been waiting on you?
I really liked Entitled. Because I feel like you had some truth-telling on there.
Yeah, because Untitled, that's when Untitled, and I said, you know what, now I know who the fuck I am. Yeah. I'm entitled to this shit. That's when I already told you, I've been telling you guys, but you guys are not fucking listening. Lose twice.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that again.
You know, I like the track, what was the track on there that I like? Paranoia.
Sometimes I feel lose twice, and then even open your mind. Open your mind. Tell me, how does it feel when you think you're in the know, but you still know nothing? Like, I was, and then all my pens from all these different people that I worked with, because I was working with Andy Nicholson from Sheffield, who used to be part of the Arctic Monkeys. Then so I've had all these different people that I've worked with. So my pen is just different now. At this point,
And it's spilling out of you now.
Yeah, I've been with Dave Dash. I've done the gallery. You can't tell me shit at this point. So that's when Breakout comes in, because Breakout was more about me saying to everyone, like, because people that I started inspiring, they started to inspire me again. So it becomes...
Did Breakout come out after you did that documentary to Jamaica?
Yes.
I thought so, because that documentary was amazing. What was it, Homeland?
Yeah.
That was such a nice film, and you looked so at home and at ease there.
And this is the thing that people understand, because like Jamaica, one thing about Jamaica, everything that ever Jamaican, you either have to be a yard, you have to be a Bob Marley. Jamaicans, you're so multifaceted. And there's always a lot of Germans in Jamaica in it as well. So.
Yeah. Well, it showed that in the video, didn't it?
Exactly. And what people understand. We're Jamaican. It's what it is. It's not even a... It's just a way of life. Being a Jamaican. Anyone could be Jamaican, you know. It's not a black and white thing. It's a vibe thing. So, I remember I went to Jamaica with my grandmother when I was 9 years old, and I stayed there for 6 weeks, and I stayed in the countryside, in the gully. I was washing myself in the river. We were having breakfast in the morning that we used to get cooked over a flesh. Like, I experienced Jamaica from a place of where my mum comes from. So,
yeah,
I'm Jamaican in a way where I don't have to do the... red, gold, and green, and yes, but my, like, no, I'm Jamaican, innit?
Yeah.
But when people don't understand that, they when they associate Jamaica, they think of Bob, or they think of Budja Banton, or they think of the Jamaica has so many different sides of it.
Mm. And what's a nice footage of you with Spragger Benz, though?
Ah, that was by accident. And he's obviously best friends with Salon. I was so nervous. I was like, I can't do this. And, but yeah, I ended up interviewing him, and it was lovely. He was so nice. Breakout for me was in the time to let everyone know, guy. Everyone that has allowed these people to fucking make ourselves small and humble ourselves, enough. Breakout. Yeah. This is what Breakout is about. It's like, I'm not here for your energy vibes, and if you're not on this, listen, I'm a creative. I can start again. I don't care.
Such an organic EP, and it showed you a totally different light, and it really felt so natural to you. And I love it when you collab with Rodney. Why you wanna come testing me when you should've invested in me? No, if what? Them interrupt your vibe, you have to break up. If them take your feet, I try. You have to break up. This is Robbie's verse on that. But listen, he's amazing. Ty on the OK track, amazing.
And you know what's mad? Because me and Ty have known each other over the years, and obviously back and forth. And the first time we really got to when we went up to do the video for OK. And we was in a car for 3 hours driving up to Nottingham, because we did the video in Nottingham, and we really connected. And then him say, remember, he's been honest about where he was, like, he was depressed. He's versed, isn't it? That's how he felt. Remember, but no one, because Ty, like me, goes on stage, he switches it on, he's a performer.
Yeah.
But he was telling you, we were all telling you that we're not in the right place, we're depressed, but music is right, will keep us out here, will save us. If you just kind of show up for me, that is what Breakout was about. It was like, guys, it's not about the money. It's not about the fame. Yeah. I don't want to be famous. I want you guys to respect the fact that I love this shit, and please don't let me compromise myself. Because remember, Ty will show up for everybody, you know? Like, it's not about the money. Ty outperforms, outdoes anybody. Like, you mad. My loved ones keep me afloat. They're the paddle to my dinghy when I'm losing all hope. When I just can't cope, I see the wood for the trees and the walls are closing in. I might cop a plea to depression that's really trying to hold me ransom to temptation, turmoil and tantrums and trauma. Sometimes I can't get out my bed, and these demons won't get out my head. Keep it moving. When you feel it in your bones and nothing else can stay you warm, you'll be okay. And people like us don't get to be seen and heard for us, though. It kills us every day. Like, it makes us...
It's difficult for men to talk as well. It always has been. Especially black men as well.
But there you go. And he's Nigerian. And, do you know what I mean? And he's African Nigerian. But apparently, I think he might have been adopted. He was adopted, wasn't he, as well, at one point. So he...
That's amazing. Yeah. Because he was doing that tour with Twang and Rodney. Before he died, didn't he?
Yes. The Kingdom. And this is why I love Rodney. Because Rodney... A lot of people at the time... Rodney was the guy that everyone... You know, no, trying obviously, but he gave his clap. That's why I've got nothing but love for that man, because he's in the same thing that I'm in. He doesn't do things for the sake of doing it. It's no, no. Do. Like, we don't, I don't, I'm not just doing any interview just because. There's points I'm doing interviews with people, then asking me questions, and they had no idea. And I'm like,
what's the point? Yeah.
Oh, how do you feel about, do you feel like Amy? And then I'm like, you came before these people. I don't, like, I'm not jealous of nobody. Like, I'm inspired. I'm actually honored and inspired that these people are inspired, but we're taking it further. Mm. That's what we're supposed to do. Stop talking to me about things in the past. Stop talking about these
arms. And you really went back to your Jamaican roots for Breakout. And that, the cover art was wicked. I loved it. It was so far from that girl on the Love album, like with the weave and the whatever. It was so far, and it was so nice to see that you've, like I said to Nicole, I said it's so nice to see that you've, your journey's been worth it. No matter what bullshit you went through, it's brought you here.
And I'm telling you, and you have to remember, my thing is this, why are we repeating history when we know the outcome of every single time it's gone this way? We've seen it happen with Nina Simone, Whitney, all of our guys, even Lauren, she's here.
Yeah.
Oh, she's only had one album. She said that she doesn't need to make another fucking album. That first album, if she made another album, second one, she did the Unplugged. She did that first album. It wasn't for you.
She kind of needs to, though. I kind of feel like Lauren does need to drop an album, though.
I think, no, you know what?
Just for the love of it, like the Breakout.
No, the thing is, her first on Nas is Nobody. For me, that's what I needed from her. Right now, I'm focused on my freedom now.
Might have another album in her that ain't going to be as big as Miss Education for Lauryn Hill, but will be something that blows everyone's mind. Like,
yeah.
Which leads me on to your newest album.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of your best albums to date.
I think so too.
I feel like this is where it's all been leading to. And I urge anyone to honestly go and listen to The Breakout, because I think it's an amazing project, wicked EP. Yeah. And then listen to My Love Story, because I just think it's banging, Terry. It's wicked.
You know, this is my favourite interview of all time, because there's finally... I'm in this place where people don't understand. Right now, I'm Robin Paul to pay Peter, but I know exactly, I've got these Zed Bias. You know Zed Bias, right?
Yeah.
She's done a remix of the whole album, and every single song now is for the dance. This one is for, do you hear? This album, when I wrote Don't Waste Your Time, because I don't really care, but the moment I wrote those first opening lines for that song, I was like, okay, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to take, I've started my own label, Rings of 100 Records. I'm distributing it for Believe Digital. I've got my own radio show where I talk about, I've got my own night that I do for the past radio show, Soho Radio. I've got my own night that I do in Brooks and Chip Shop every last Friday of the month. And I've had Benoit, I've had Omar, I've had all these people, and I'm connecting from Breakout, I'm connecting all the dots. So this year is the day that I'm getting paid, that I'm doing interviews with people that know what the journey is. Don't ask me no stupid questions, because I will be like, I'm done.
Yeah. I forgot about the single you did on Breakout with Children of Zeus as well. Another wicked tune. Oh my god, that's too much to talk. See, I'm jumping now. There's so much to talk about. But the new album, and I'll tell you how I first heard the new album. What a track I heard the other day. Six Music have been loving I Remember. Tell me you're going to do Cross the Tracks this year.
I am, actually, yes. And Nicole's going to be there.
Nicole's doing it, I know. I'm so glad that you've survived the bus crash, Terry.
No, she was dead. I've survived her back. She wasn't dead.
She was just very badly injured.
Yeah. Oh, God. So some of those posts are probably still on my Facebook, because that's from years ago. Like, I wrote that shit ages. It's probably still on there.
Yeah, well, don't be killing yourself again, please.
No.
We want more.
I'm the happiest I've ever actually ever been in my life right now.
You can tell. You can tell for the music.
Yeah.
All right, babe.
Best interview I've had in a very, very long time. Thank you. Seriously. You've made my day today.
That was the fast-paced and fabulous Terry Walker. Join me, Joanna Chaundy, next time when I talk to another incredible woman in music, only here on the Baggy Jeans Podcast.